There were four members of the council, however, only three voted because the mayor has recused himself of this entire issue.
Because?
Well, he represents one of the, as a realtor, he represents one of the developers, that not the person that owns the dirt, but the person developing the dirt in the deal, in the transaction. So from the very start of any of this, he let us know right away that he had a, professionally, he was representing someone, so he recused himself from any and all conversations about this.
So he actually physically got up and removed himself from the dais and...
Well, in executive session when we initially spoke of this months ago, he let everyone on council know that he was involved on it. On his, you know, he's a realtor; that's what he does for a living. So he had a real estate client involved. So he said he would not participate in the topic, the discussions, any of the research, any of it. You know, he would recuse himself from it. So we held meetings with he in attendance, but he recused himself from the conversation and from any votes.
Recommended two of the proposals, and why just the two?
Well, it was based on my research, and now the majority of these things were in single-member District 3, which I represent. The two that we recommended, there are two that I recommended and then my fellow council members voted for, were judged based on a few things, a few criteria. I liked the idea of one that had a project that had the least amount of impact negatively to an area. So the thing I heard over and over again from my constituents and that I agree with is we didn't want anything that might potentially hurt development, whether that be retail, residential, or business, on the single-member District 3 or East Bryan corridor. And in particular, where a lot of those that applied were looking for multifamily residential with income assisted, and we didn't think that that would necessarily go well with what we're hoping to see out there in that East Bryan corridor as far as development. So with that said, the two that I thought were most favorable, one was Cobblestone Court, which will be accessible from only a road that is currently being built across from Cracker Barrel. It'll be 68 single-story units, elderly restricted, and they're going to be one- and two-bedroom units, Bill. So what that means is it really is believable that that would be elder restricted. Now, that the owner of that property is a local developer. He's built these things in Huntsville and in Bryan and College Station, and it's always come out beautifully. He does a great job. The other property I liked quite a bit was the one at Cross Park Drive at the Park Hudson area, and it's actually the same folks that have built that Watercrest. They have a $70 million investment in the city of Bryan. Now, I really don't like anything above single story, but in this case, they want to build a 90-unit add-on, not an add-on, it's a separate entity, but right next to where they already have Watercrest, which are three- and four-story high, they want to build a 90-unit elderly restricted development there as well. So I thought it mixed well with what is already there. If it was going to be there and there was nothing else like it in the area, I wouldn't be as apt to support it. But because I think it mixes well with what's already there, I thought it was a compliment and therefore not a big negative impact on the area. And I think anyone with a $70 million investment right next door is probably going to build something that we'd all be proud to have in East Bryan.
I'm just going to play devil's advocate because I have pulled up the letter that's going to the state, and it says, please accept this letter in support of the housing tax credit application as submitted by, and there's the next sentence that says, this particular type of development is much needed in Bryan as there are limited opportunities in the community for low-income households to benefit from high-quality, affordable housing. So weigh that against only picking two and leaving three on the table.
Well, the three that were left on the table, you know, it is necessary to have this type of housing available to your residences. But when you look at senior restricted income housing, these are people that are retired. So they probably, at that point in their life, it's likely that they don't have debt, but they're on a fixed income, Bill. They have retirement or Social Security that's coming in. And so their income yearly may not be that incredible, but it's a great neighbor to have. Now, the multifamily units where they're three- and four-bedroom, three- and four-stories high over and over and over again, you know, I'm elected to represent the people of East Bryan, and the folks in that area didn't think that that would mix well with what we like to see come, which is residential, retail, and office development. Now, we even have letters from the police being concerned with existing facilities that are family, non-senior restricted, where what unfortunately happens is you have someone qualified to live there and then they have other people move in with them and you end up with a mixed mash of different people living there. and it's income assisted as well. So one big concern I had was something that wasn't senior restricted, though the senior restricted is going to be welcome there. But non-senior restricted is income assisted living. What you have there are folks that are not really paying into then the BISD, and yet they're using BISD. You've got more folks going to the school, which is already, the school district's already strapped for money. And of course, we're all seeing the cutbacks coming now from the legislature potentially. And then add to that 300 units where you have potentially, it could be 600 to maybe 700, 900 kids going to BISD who really aren't paying property tax or BISD taxes, but yet are putting a bigger burden on the school district. So while these houses are, while this type of housing and development is positive development when done correctly, our opinion was that done correctly might be senior restricted, where you don't have a drain on BISD, and where you do have people that are going to add to the tax base. They're going to spend their money in Bryan. They're going to live in Bryan. And again, the development will complement what's around it.
Well, let me extend the devil's advocate then into this next sentence, then, because it says there's a demonstrated need for this type of development that's in accordance with your consolidated or comprehensive plan. So does that mean maybe somewhere down the line you're going to have to adjust your comprehensive plan to recognize what you just mentioned about the type of population mix you're looking for?
Well, the housing... saying that this sort of thing is desired for a comprehensive plan, that's a very vague, open-ended, general statement. And so you got to look at the housing as they apply and what you need at the time. Now, this type of housing is great. It helps the community have a myriad of different income levels in it. But and some of these units, when they're built, they have a certain percentage that's income assisted and a certain percentage that is market rate. So they're paying regular rent, and they're all in the same complex. The comprehensive plan is always being looked at by council. That is a living, breathing document. And by any council, by any city, they're always looking at their long-term goal. But for right now, with the income that's being cut back more and more for our legislative body, for education, for BISD, for what we're hoping to see happen in East Bryan and where these particular applications were at, which was right in the middle of where we'd like to see a lot of that residential commercial development in East Bryan, right now we didn't think that you look at the comprehensive plan and weigh what you have. Well, development is something you have in comprehensive plan, and we didn't think the multifamily, non-senior restricted, worked well with the comprehensive plan.
The two that were endorsed, what's the timetable to hear back from the state?
Well, when we endorsed those, Representatives Brown and Ogden may then also, by March 31st, endorse. Now, as a council, our points are negligible at best, but this is a point system that these things are awarded on, Bill. Now, Brown and Ogden may very well decide to throw support behind what we've thrown support behind, and they can give up to 7 points on a scale of about 200 points. They can give 7 points each. However, these things are so close in the point standing right now, that may very well be what decides the winner from the point standing. There's enough money in Area 8 of the TDHCA in Bryan that you might see one or two of these developments. Now, these two that we endorsed are small developments, so it's conceivable that you could have both or one. And we'll know more, I think, by the end of April, who won in the point standing and where TDHCA is going to award the contract for construction.
Any idea when you'll hear back from the authority?
From TDHCA? Well, I think by the end of April we'll know where we stand with that.
Is this something that passes your table annually then?
No, the funds aren't always there, Bill. And, we're competing with two other cities for these. However, the majority of the ones that are, the majority of the applications were in Bryan. That's just the way it fell this time. Now, this might come up as the money's available. Now, in a budget cycle where state and federal are seeing bigger and bigger cutbacks, I don't know that we'll see this come up again, but as I'm not a federal legislature, I couldn't tell you which way it would be. It's ultimately a federal program, and I'd be surprised if something came up again within the next year or two just based on cutbacks. That, as a fiscal conservative, I hope those cutbacks are there, but could be annual. I doubt it.
Anything else regarding this that listeners ought to know about?
Well, I will say that we had to wade through a tremendous amount of information and misinformation about these. It's a very confusing process, and there were a lot of rumors spread in one way or the other. What it came down to was fact, and this council looked into facts, and we had staff look into facts, and the staff did a great job bringing us facts. What we heard over and over from constituency was senior restricted, potentially with minimal impact on the landscape around it, so single story, or if it is multi-story in the area where there already is multi-story, that's acceptable. But again, what we did was representative of what the public asked for, and that's what we're there to do. So I think we did the best thing for Brian. I think we did the best thing for the seniors that would benefit from this housing, and I think that we did it in a way that minimized impact on Brian that could be seen as negatively the best way that we could.